Hello, everybody. I think we'll get started now. So welcome to the 7th Annual Faculty of Arts Internship Event. We're so glad that so many people can make it out. The promise of a reception is still present. So at 1:30, there will be a reception and food outside. So please do stay for that. In the meantime, we're going to have a great presentation of speakers. But we're going to start with Professor Christopher Manfredi, Dean of Arts, who's going to say a few words of opening. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Matt. It's a great pleasure to be here to offer these words of welcome to the event. The Arts Internship Program is one of the best things that happened in the Faculty of Arts, and I need to start by acknowledging all the hard work that Ann Turner and her team does in the Arts Internship Office, because without them, the program would not be what it is. And so I just want to thank you, Ann, for all the hard work that you do. You do a great job with them. 4 years ago, when I became dean, there were about 50 students, a little over 50 students, who went off on internships through the Arts Internship Program. This year, I think we sent over 240. So that's a 400% increase over 4 years. And that's an increase over the 20 students that we sent off on internships in the very first year of the program. So we've grown this program tenfold over about 7 or 8 years, I guess, Anne. So that shows that tells us that this is a program that has resonated with the students, and it's a program that's delivering a service to students that they wanted and that our partners in our internship program want. Just to give you a little bit of a sense of where the internships occur, of the 241 students who went off on internships this year, they went to 35 different countries throughout North America, Europe, Africa, and Asia. So this is an international program. 105 of the students also received academic credit for their internship. So we have put in place a process where students can register for an internship course within their programs and receive academic credit in addition to the practical experience and the other great aspects of the internship that they get. One of the reasons why the internship program has been able to grow and thrive over the last several years is that we've been increasingly able to offer financial support to students who are going off on the internship program. We want this program to be available to every student, and these are generally unpaid internships, and the internships come with a cost to them. There's the cost of travel to get there, and there's the cost of accommodation and other costs that go with being on an internship. And there's an opportunity cost. You have to give up the opportunity to work for money during the year. So we've spent a lot of effort in raising money to provide awards to interns to defray some of the costs. And this year we were able to provide awards to 74 students out of the 241. And we're continuing to raise money to do that. And I want to, before turning the floor over to the actual interns themselves, thank and acknowledge the support of some of our internship award supporters who are with us today. Alan Hodgson, Tanya Zweken, and Myron Eckenberg, who have all generously made donations to the Arts Internship Program and support students in the program. So please join me in thanking them for their support. Well, nothing lowers the level of an event more quickly than a speech from a dean, so I will stop here, and let me turn it off floor over back to Matt and back over to the interns.
Thank you, Professor Manfredi. So throughout the presentation, I'm going to be giving a little bit of information about both the internship program, if these slides begin to work. And so obviously the feature of the presentation is going to be the past interns who completed their internships for the most part over the summer. But I think, there's still students here who are wondering, how do I get involved? How can I do an internship next summer? And that's hopefully where I can come in with a bit of information about our program and how you can get started with the process of getting an internship. You have some great photos, so I think this has to work. But Mark is very resourceful, so yeah. We can restart. Okay, so I'll start with kind of a question that some people may still be asking. What is an internship? And the way that we define it is sort of a short-term professional experience that's related to your field of study. So you take issues that you're interested in from class, you take kind of questions about the world that interest you, and find a way to work with an organization, either an NGO or a corporate organization or a government agency, and find a way to work in that field for a period of time. So that's what an internship is. It can be paid or unpaid. It can be part-time or full-time. And it should involve sort of some idea of learning objectives and reflection. So in that way, it differs from a volunteer experience because it really is meant to be an educational experience related to your field of study. I'll pause here and wait. Is that working?
No, I'm sure.
Probably going to add another 10 minutes to the presentation, unfortunately, but I'm just going to keep going because the slides really aren't that important at this point. there's always a few myths that we try to denounce at these events, a few myths that people have about internships in general. The first is that internships have to be at a non-governmental organization or a non-profit organization. This absolutely is false. We have students that intern with corporations, with museums, with publishing houses, with NGOs, of course. So really, I mean, any type of organization, I think, you can find some pull with your field of study. A second myth is that internships are only for IDS students and poli-sci students. And it's understandable why it comes off this way, because you might see photos of a student in an exotic location or... And really, I mean, so many students are in those departments that it's easy to for that to come across. But really, I mean, there are students every year that do internships in English, in art history, in Italian studies, in every department, every program in the Faculty of Arts. So it's important that for you not to be discouraged if you're in a field where it may not be initially obvious kind of what the practical link is, because... there are philosophy as well. I mean, there are links that we can make in what we call the real world.
It's on the.
A third myth, and I alluded to this already, is that an internship has to be in an exotic location, and this, of course, is false as well. In fact, 50% of our interns this past year interned in Montreal, or near their hometown. And we always encourage students to find internships close by, internships in their hometown, find ways to work with people in their communities. One, because obviously it costs less if you're not going to be working for a summer, it can cost less. But also, I mean, your communities need you just as much as the world does. So McGill is simultaneously an international school. We're also a community school. So I think... Hopefully, I mean, with the speakers today, we can get across the idea that, you know, internships are anywhere. They're in your home. They're in Montreal as well. So at this point, wait one more minute, and hopefully this some of our slides come up so that you can see the interns' photos. How's it going, Mark?
Apple users rub their hands in glee.
I know, yeah? Okay. I have some more interesting facts about about our internship program. As I said, you know, internships are all over the world, and out of 240 interns we had this summer, 145 of them were in Canada or the U.S. There were 4 students who interned in North Africa or the Middle East, 18 students who interned in South Asia, East Asia, Southeast Asia, 32 students who interned on the continent of Africa, 33 students who entered in Europe, so that's both Western Europe and Eastern Europe, and 16 in Latin America. So you see a real kind of global stretch the program. I should have gone through those stats a little bit slower. So, and as Professor Manfredi mentioned, also that there were 105 students over the year that are going to be receiving credit for their internships. And again, that's in over 20 different departments in the faculty where students can receive credit. And 105 of them this year chose to do so. So the myths, we've gone over that. No, it's fine. Yeah, great. this is my pie chart explaining what I just explained about where in the world our interns do go. Mark, just move over a little bit. The stats that Professor Manfredi mentioned, which are that 105 students receive credit, and over the years, over the last 3 years, there have been 100 professors in the Faculty of Arts who have supervised these course credit papers so in the faculty. So part of what we're doing today is also thanking them for their involvement. So something to think about. And and then also, this year, 74 students have received internship awards. I'm going to be talking a bit more about that as the presentation goes on. So at this point, I'd like to introduce Mark, who you know very well at this point now. And he interned in 2009 in Ghana with the Center for Human Rights, the Commission for Human Rights and Administrative Justice. And he's going to give a bit of his perspectives on the internship process kind of a year later, after had graduated and now still around, obviously, around campus. So welcome, Mark.
Thank you, everyone, for coming today, and thank you, Matt, for inviting me. As Matt mentioned, I did have the fortune of interning in 2009 at the Ghanaian Commission on Human Rights and Administrative Justice. And so Matt asked me here today to kind of, as he said, give a perspective a year out and post-graduation on the 3 months I spent away. As luck had it, a few days after the office emailed me, I found myself at a party with some of the people I spent time with in Ghana, some of the other interns from that year. We spent a lot of time reminiscing about our time, talking about things that happened at work and funny encounters and big adventures that we had. I didn't think too much about that conversation until I sat down to write this speech. And then the thought that I had was sort of a fear. I feared that my whole experience, the 3 months I spent in a foreign country wrought with highs and lows, had been reduced to a simple nostalgia. Had all this time I spent there just boiled down to a couple of threadbare anecdotes that I whip out whenever someone gives me the inevitable, "So, I heard you were in Africa." This is a scary thought. While my internship certainly plays a starring role on my CV and is an accomplishment that I'm very proud of, padding my resume and my self-esteem were really far down the list of things I wanted to accomplish by doing an internship, as I'm sure they are for many of you. So where does that leave me a year on from my internship? Ultimately, my conclusion is one of only partial salvation. There were, as it turns out, no grand life changes to be drawn from my internship. My life marches on post-Ghana, largely in the same direction as it was before I went on the internship. But looking for such tangible outcomes of an internship is perhaps a folly. Maybe it is the more intangible results that really matter. A sense of understanding when someone talks about bureaucratic inefficiency, or applying objective human rights to a subjective national stage. Maybe it's the nod of a head I can give when someone talks about intercultural exchange or being a foreign traveler in a strange country. And it's certainly the pain of loss when you feel when Team Ghana hits shot after shot into the crossbar at the World Cup, along with my newfound hatred of Uruguay. Did anyone go to Uruguay? Then again, this is all my subjective experience. There are, I'm sure, people sitting up here today whose lives were changed indelibly by the internship experience. People whose summer experiences will guide them down a path of a lifetime of work that was inspired by their internship. My point is that even if this is not the case, even if you leave an internship with only an intangible appreciation for something more authentic, more real, and more gritty than your textbooks offer, well, that's worth it too. We must always remember that the world is large and complex, and our understanding of events all too often lacks the context and nuance that would better our knowledge and ultimately policy. Will an internship provide you intense insight into all the world's problems? Certainly not. It will, however, give you a little slice of authentic knowledge on which to build. Thank you all for coming today.
Thanks very much, Mark. Let's introduce Nora Hope.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nora Hope, and this summer I interned just 3 blocks away from here on bustling St. Catherine Street at the headquarters of the Climate Project Canada. Now, the Climate Project Canada is Nobel laureate Al Gore's environmental NGO dedicated to spreading awareness about the urgency of climate change. While my academic background is in psychology, I am passionate about environmental advocacy and was drawn to the Climate Project due to my interest in researching what motivates sustainable behaviors and how we can work to promote environmental consciousness in Canada. A major highlight of my internship this summer was traveling with the rest of the Climate Project staff to Nashville, Tennessee, where we were joined by hundreds of individuals from everywhere from Indonesia to England for an intensive training led by Mr. Gore himself. This was an immensely inspiring experience and brought added meaning to the tasks I took on a daily basis back in Montreal. As a small NGO, the interns made up the majority of the staff at the Climate Project this summer, and thus we had a large amount of responsibility and autonomy in undertaking projects. Learning was a very on-the-go process, and we were often left to our own devices, which was both exciting and intimidating, but left an invaluable experience. And ultimately, while my experience was extremely valuable as a learning opportunity, it did bring me to the realization that working for an environmental NGO is not the right career path for me. This reaffirmed my zeal for research and practice within the domain of psychology, and I've returned to my studies at McGill with added vigor. I'd recommend all of you to take advantage of the resources the arts internship has to offer while you're at McGill and apply for an arts internship position. The real-world experience offered through these internships is an excellent way to narrow down the overwhelming number of career paths we have available as students today. Finally, I'd like to extend a thank you to the Faculty of Arts for the Dean of Arts Internship Award, which was of huge assistance to me in completing this internship. And anyways, next up, I'd like to welcome Sean Stefanik to the podium. Thanks.
Okay, hey everyone. So my name's Sean, and I had the incredible opportunity to work for 3 months this summer in Nairobi, Kenya for a fairly large NGO called Liverpool VCT Care and Treatment. It was about 300 people, and basically they work in the HIV and AIDS field doing counseling, testing, research, and related service delivery. So when I was there, I had 2 primary responsibilities. First, I helped and assisted in designing a research study that was looking at the relationship between gender equality within community-based organizations that provide these services and the outcomes and effectiveness of the services they provide specifically to women. And secondly, I was helping to design information publications for service providers about how to offer effective services for most at-risk populations. So I thought this was an incredible experience for 2 reasons. First off, the one thing about an internship is it's a great opportunity to learn about what you're interested in. And for me, that was health policy outside of a classroom environment. I can't stress enough how different it is and how much of a better experience it is to be able to learn about these things firsthand. And secondly, what I want to spend the next 55 seconds talking about, is the experience of living and working in Nairobi, which was truly an incredible one. So for me, I was the only intern that was working at LVCT, so it was a bit of an intimidating experience, especially since when I went to Nairobi, literally all I knew about the city was what I read and saw in pictures on Wikipedia. So it was a little intimidating going there at first all on my own and not really knowing how the city works, particularly since I'm really bad at directions. So getting around the city on my own at first was incredibly stressful, incredibly intimidating, and that's why I think, for me at least, the first few weeks there were certainly very difficult. But I came to appreciate a lot of the differences that Nairobi and particularly Kenyan culture has to offer. There's no Starbucks on every corner. There aren't large supermarkets where you can go and buy everything from Advil to lettuce to clothing. They don't have these things. You go and buy your food at local stands on the street corner, and you can't pay with credit card. All these things were different, and it took a lot of time to adjust to them, but I began to appreciate them as my internship goes on. Everything also works at a different pace. As a lot of people will tell you who worked in Kenya or certain parts of Africa, work days were longer, but everything moves slower. And when people say things start at 2 o'clock, it doesn't really start at 2 o'clock. It probably starts at 4. So adjusting to different conceptions of time was a major difference. Overall, what I would say about the experience of living abroad is that I think an internship is good. There are pictures. I didn't lie. I actually went there. So I think the experience of living and working abroad is good, not just for what it teaches you about what you do want to do, but also about what it teaches you about what you don't want to do. So for me, living and working in Nairobi was great, but I think the reason it was really, really good was because I knew at the end of 3 months I'd be coming back to Canada. And I always thought, and to be honest, I really did like living there and working there. But for me, I don't think I could ever live there permanently. I like the sort of conveniences and the lifestyle that I have in Canada, and that was one of the biggest things I took away from this internship, an appreciation for some of the things that I never thought about before. And finally, I'd like to extend a special thank you to Mr. Alan Hodgson, whose generous contributions to the Faculty of Arts internship program made my internship possible, and I know for a lot of other people the same as well. And so next up, I'd like to introduce Samantha Nadler.
Hello, my name is Samantha Nadler. This summer, I interned at the Organization of American States in Washington, D.C. For those who might not be familiar with the OAS, it's a multilateral organization that promotes democracy, human rights, security, and development in the hemisphere. Today, most nations in the hemisphere are involved as participating member states, making the OAS an important forum for a discussion among leaders in the Americas. Within the organization, I was working in the Secretariat for External Relations in the Office of the Secretary. For this internship, my double degree in International Development and Latin American and Caribbean Studies was very helpful. It didn't necessarily help me with the everyday tasks of working in an office where I was mainly helping with administrative support and report writing, but it definitely helped me in understanding the organization overall, and I was able to become active in discussions about the organization's involvement in hemispheric affairs. So, for example, the role of the OAS in bringing a return to democracy in Honduras, or mediating the relations between Colombia and Venezuela, or the role that they'll be playing in electoral observation in the upcoming elections in Haiti. Now, originally, I wanted to go to a developing country to intern because I felt that it would be the best way to gain both work and cultural experience. But I could not have been more happy to have found myself in Washington, D.C. If you're at all interested in international affairs, then D.C. might be the ideal place for you to go. Because Washington is the headquarters for so many organizations and companies, it has a very cosmopolitan feel. People come to D.C. from all over the world to intern and begin their professional careers. The Washington Post estimated that there are approximately 20,000 interns this summer working in D.C. alone. This demonstrates how the city is just overrun with young people in the summer. When work ends at 5:30 to 6, the bars and restaurants, they just fill up with young people, and everyone is mingling at happy hours. And then later, they all head to the free concerts and events that the city has organized almost every day of the summer. What I loved about the summer was that during the days, I really felt like I was in Latin America, working with mostly Latin Americans. But then as soon as I would exit the OAS building, I was back in the American capital. Overall, this internship was a really amazing experience, and working at the OAS really helped me to realize that I made the right decision in my educational choices at McGill, and it really reinforced my future career aspirations in working with a multilateral or with a nonprofit organization. So with that in mind, I really want to thank the Arts Internship Office for supporting me and helping me to find this internship, and the Anderson family for their very generous contribution. Without their help, this summer really would not have been possible. So if any of you might be interested in doing something similar, I really encourage you to apply to internships in DC because there are so many available and being offered by every organization. And if you have any further questions, I'd be happy to answer them later on. Thank you.
At this point, I'd like to give you kind of a very brief introduction to our website, which is where you can find most of our resources that will hopefully be helpful to you in your search for an internship. So this is our website. You can find information here on our internship awards, on past recipients, on past interns. And I think, you know, one of the best resources that we have is a list of past interns and their experience reports. So you'd be able to read about the experiences that they've had, what are their recommendations, and then contact them if you have questions about how you might go forward and apply to that same organization for an internship. So I do encourage you to browse our website. There's a lot there. So at this point, I will introduce Todd Plummer, who will speak about his experience.
Hi, everyone. As has been already brought up by several people that have already spoken, you don't have to be in IDS and you don't have to work for an NGO for an arts internship or to even qualify for an arts internship award, and I'm kind of the poster child for that. My name is Todd Plummer, and I'm an English literature major, and I spent the summer interning at Vogue magazine in New York City, where I worked 60 hours a week, sometimes more, nevertheless, coming in as early as 5:30, staying as late as 10:30 p.m., unpaid. I split my time between the fashion and the online editorial departments. And when I was in fashion, I assisted the staff however they wanted. And my job description was that there was no job description. And when I was in the online department, I helped redesign the website, set up their social media, and help plan for collections coverage for New York, London, Milan, and Paris Fashion Weeks. I wanted to get an internship like this because I wanted to learn what it took to get a job in both the fashion and publishing industries. And I was really, really lucky to get offered this internship because Vogue is a leader in both fashion and publishing. I am an English literature major, and the English degree has, I found, very, it helped me a lot this summer to analyze and write about clothes the way you analyze a text, almost. And the internship has been the perfect way to kind of bridge the academic and the pragmatic. So I'm doing my internship for credit. The course number is English 498, and Catherine Bradley is supervising my internship, and she's helping me build a writing portfolio. We're going to practice freelance pitching. It's going to be another really good opportunity to bridge the academic and the practical. So all in all, my internship taught me that living in New York is possible, and it's not as expensive as people make it out to be if you're careful. And I'm very, very grateful to have received the Arts Internship Award that I did because it made my summer possible, and I would not have been able to go to New York this summer if I didn't get that award. So what I learned this summer, getting a job in this industry is all about the connections that you make, and there's so much interest in these high-demand positions that you really need to have an in, and that's what I got this summer. I was lucky enough to start building my network of contacts and learning that neither fashion nor publishing are glamorous and that it takes a lot of hard work, and you have to put the blood, sweat, and tears into it. You know, I'm a guy from small-town Massachusetts. I had no connections a while ago, and I literally got lucky enough by sending the right email to the right person at the right time, and I was offered this opportunity. I mean, as far as new skills that I learned, a concept that I learned that bridged what I've learned at McGill and what I learned this summer was all about branding and learning about how what you write affects the image and the voice of a publication and how careful you have to be with social media. Everyone from who you follow on Twitter and what the background of your Twitter page looks like is a political decision. and, you know, not even in terms of working for a publication, but also for yourself. So when people go to Google you, when you apply for jobs, they don't get the wrong idea. So I can't stress enough that my internship was the perfect way to bridge the critical thinking that I practice at McGill within the English degree and the practical skills that I was able to learn about in New York. So up next, I think we have Shardé, and she will speak about her internship. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me? I completed my internship in Jinja, Uganda this summer with the National Fisheries Resources Research Institute. My major is environmental studies with a specialization in ecological determinants of health, and I have a minor in anthropology. So this internship really gave me the opportunity to use what I've learned at McGill in environment and go out there and get experience in the field. So during the first half of my internship, I worked with Colin and Lauren Chapman and their team of master's and PhD students, collecting fish samples and doing just about everything you can imagine to fish that can be done for research. I learned how to catch them, weigh them, dissect them, tag them, euthanize, anesthetize, and preserve them for research purposes. And after that, for 2 weeks, I worked with PhD student Diana Sharp, and she was working on a small fish mukene. And we did dredging, which is in the picture here. It's taking up mud and looking for snails and clams and things like that, which we can use to find how fish eat, basically. And whatever fish eat is important for the entire ecosystem, as well as the fishing industry. So in the second half of my internship, I spent it inside doing office work. So we made a fish museum of all the fish that you could find in Lake Victoria and Lake Nabugabo, primarily, as well as other small lakes around Uganda. And there's a museum at the institute where I worked at, so we also made posters and did a lot of other cool stuff for the museum there, and this database is now online, and hopefully people will find it useful to visit. So the pros and cons of working with little supervision during the internship are many. When you're working without supervision, you can have a lot of freedom, creativity, flexibility. But when you do have supervision, you have direction, and you know what your job is. So when you don't have any idea what to do, you can do whatever you want, but you have to use your time wisely and really take initiative. So I did this internship for three main reasons. The first was to gain experience working in the field of environment. The second was to gain experience working in a developing country away from my comfort zone. And the third was to narrow down potential careers. So the third one I did not get to do because working in Uganda actually opened up a huge variety of careers that I had never thought I would ever do. And so now I'm a little bit even more confused than I was going into my internship. But that's okay. Now I know I am interested in the health field, so that's why I'm pursuing an honors project working with fish consumption and human nutrition. So finally, I would like to thank Brenda and Morrison Hurley for their Arts Internship Award. Without this award, I wouldn't have been able to go to Uganda. It's a very costly experience, but it was well worth the cost. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Philippe Bern, and this summer I interned with the Indigenous Peoples of Africa Coordinating Committee in Cape Town in South Africa. IPAC is a membership network of 155 Indigenous organizations across Africa. Its main aim is to coordinate communication between these organizations and agencies such as the United Nations and multilateral forums. So as an intern, I was given a very broad number of tasks. I translated official statements, I interpreted from English to French, I facilitated communication between members and the secretariat, I helped draft guidelines on subjects such as climate change, which I'm profoundly interested in, and I helped register and accommodate delegates for upcoming conferences. I also did a lot of budgeting, and I found that very challenging, but also very, very interesting. My internship provided me with a lot of various opportunities I'd never expect. I participated in the 14th meeting of the subsidiary body on scientific, technical, and technological advice at the UNEP headquarters in Nairobi. Nairobi traffic, I don't know about you, but 3 hours from the airport to downtown is a long, long time. Here you can see me in Gabon, and when you live in a logging camp that is abandoned for the last 10 years, and you share a room with bats and spiders and forest elephants that come and rub themselves against the building, certainly puts things into perspective. But in Gabon, I actually was part of an information gathering trek, or trekkie as we call it in South Africa, for a 3D participating mapping project. So it entails basically creating a gigantic 10-meter by 10-meter map of the whole region in which you use colors, legends, and you get the local leaders to and children to take part of it. The end result basically is this map that they will use for future generations, and it is extremely a very, very strong civil society tool. The project's actually ongoing right now, and it'll be completed next week, so I hope to hear very good news about that. But when we did leave Gabon, the population was, the locals, the Babongo Pygmies were extremely, extremely enthused, very, very excited, and that was very rewarding. The internship at IPAC was actually administered through the Arts Internship Office. Matt will talk later about that. What I found really interesting and useful from the internship office was the ability to consult the staff members at any particular time, just walk in and talk to them about the internship, and also that they made the interns from past years available to talk to. So I found that very, very useful. In 2011, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change Conference of Parties, COP17, will be meeting in South Africa. They haven't declared the city yet. IPAC is planning to get more interns next summer to prepare for this because they would like to take a leading role for indigenous peoples, especially from Africa. So I cannot stress how much of a learning experience this internship was. And if you're interested in climate change and indigenous issues as much as I am, I really strongly urge you to consider this internship. I can really, really honestly claim that it strengthened my interests in local cultures, but also in pursuing a public policy background in work. I was able to enhance my clicking abilities in certain languages. So Mandela speaks Xhosa, I speak Osa right now. I plan on researching the marginalization of of indigenous people under the colonial period as part of my academic credit with Professor John Hellman of the History Department, and it should be a very, very, honestly, a very interesting research. The success of this internship and the many fond memories I have from everything from surfing to World Cup to elephants in Gabon could have not been impossible with the generous contributions of Professor Eckenberg, who's sitting right here, and the Government of Canada. Without their financial support, I couldn't have accepted this internship opportunity, nor have such an exceptional, valuable experience. So thank you for the time. I'd like to introduce Ada right now, who will speak to you about her internship.
My name is Ada Sonnenfeld, and I was interning this summer in Buenos Aires, Argentina, with an organization called Poder Ciudadano, which means citizen power. Poder Ciudadano is a civil society organization that works on civil rights, democratization, anti-corruption, and increasing citizen control over government institutions. Within the organization, I was working in international cooperation, doing lots of research on government agencies such as CETA, as well as private foundations such as the Ford Foundation. I wrote reports on them, talked with them, worked with them, tried to figure out how they could work with our organization and fund us. I also got to write my own grant applications and did a lot of translation work. My goal with the organization was to learn what working for an NGO in the real world was like in the field of international development. having the chance to see how what I was learning in academia actually applied to the real world was an invaluable experience. I'm studying international development in the stream of states and governance, and as such, this tied in directly to what the organization was doing. Although my actual work was a very new experience, it was nonetheless very useful, and I essentially learned how NGOs are run, how they can possibly exist, despite all of the work they try to do. In terms of future goals, I would still like to try working in other sectors of international development, such as a UN body or a multilateral institution, but the internship absolutely solidified my knowledge that this is the field that I want to be working in. And as such, I can't express how much that is useful in just knowing that all of the work I put into McGill is towards some actual purpose. I am getting credit at this for this internship under the course of INTD 499, and Professor Philip Oxhorn is going to be supervising my research on Argentine civil society. I would like to speak for a moment on introducing initiative in the workplace and keeping a positive attitude. These may sound like abstract terms, but they're really not. If you just show up to work with a desire to be useful, a smile, and a how are you, you will make your internship experience so much more fulfilling. Showing that you're interested in not only the work that you're doing, but in the lives of your coworkers is key to becoming a part of their community and not just some intern who showed up for a few weeks. It's the small, informal talk that doesn't really have anything to do with what you're working, such as complaining about bad weather, an endless day, chances are your coworkers feel the same. Poking fun at people, chatting about major sports events. The World Cup was absolutely incredible to be there. Anything that is just a day-to-day interaction will bring you closer and more a part of the community that in the end will leave a bigger impression both on yourself and on the people you work with. And those connections and those friendships are what has been most important to me throughout the whole experience. So it's important to work hard, but it's also important to have fun. Finally, I would just like to take this chance to thank the Burgess family for their generous award, which made it possible for me to go to Argentina this summer. I had an incredible experience, and it would not have been possible without their help. Thank you.
Thank you, Ida. Due to time, I'm going to skip over pretty quickly my sections, which thankfully, but I think, you know, everybody should know that our office is open, and we do want to be involved in your process of finding an internship and can provide you a lot of resources to do so. So at this point, I will introduce David Meredith, who will speak.
Yeah, I was thinking I had a place to put a water bottle.
My name is David Meredith, and this summer I learned about poverty. I learned about good people stuck in a bad situation. I learned that microfinance really does seem to help people. I learned that businesses can help people, too, if they're organized in the right way. And I learned that poverty is incredibly tenacious. It's a problem that's as involved, as complicated, and as challenging as any I've ever seen before. And that's supposed to be saying something, because I have a background in physics. This summer I did an internship at the Grameen Bank in Bangladesh. There they provide microloans to the poorest of the poor to help them start their own businesses and hopefully be able to break the poverty cycle. The positive changes the Grameen Bank have induced in the Bangladeshi economy are well documented. In 2006, they won the Nobel Peace Prize. Coming from the Honors Economics Program, I approached this internship as if it would be an application in the developmental economics I had already learned in class. I don't know if I had the right impression about what developmental economics is all about or what developmental work is all about, and in fact, I'm fairly sure I didn't. However, that was one of the reasons I went. I went to Bangladesh to learn how an entire country could be so much poorer than us. I wanted to put faces on statistics. I wanted to get experience in my field, and most of all, I wanted to help. Interning at the bank was a really interesting experience. We saw the microfinance process from the inside out. We learned about social businesses that the bank had created. And in short, we learned about the vast array of projects that the Grameen Bank had started to basically combat poverty in their own country. But we learned that people there really do need help. I mean, the Grameen Bank won the Nobel Peace Prize, but one of the main things we learned was that the war against poverty there, as in many other places, is not over. But we one thing I didn't know was that an internship at the Grameen Bank is mostly an observational affair. They want you to understand what they do, how they do it, and why what they do needs doing. In return, they sincerely ask that maybe one day you can start your own project, a business, an effort to do something for people who still need help. They basically ask you to use the tools that they've given you. With this in mind, I've undertaken a joint venture with my internship coordinator from the bank, and together we plan to build an elementary school in the rural village of Kamarkali. However, in the spirit of the Grameen Bank, we intend the school to not be a direct handout. That's not the school, but it's a school. Rather, the idea is to run it as a private school and use the profits towards providing a quality education, giving scholarships to those who can't afford the school, and perhaps one day expanding and building more schools to reach more children. By reinvesting the profit made from the community back into the community, the school project is an attempt to let the people of the village help themselves, to help them provide their children with a better education, and hopefully to provide their children with a better life. As a final thought, I think one of the things that stayed with me most from my internship is a sort of odd but persistent metaphor from my experience with poverty. And I've learned that developmental economics, I guess development work, is not entirely an academic affair at all. I've learned that it's more like a contact sport. Elegant theories about the causes of poverty are important. Knowing the rules to the game and having an effective strategy are necessary, but it's also entirely insufficient. It takes real people running, juking, clawing and diving, using the best of their wits, energy, and determination to start initiatives that actually do help people. One thing I discovered while working on the school project is that organizing people, dealing with legalities, fundraising, communicating with people in Bangladesh overseas, these are all incredibly hard things to do. But I've learned that the only way to get past them is basically to run hard at them, to keep pushing at them, and to not give up. Those are most of the things that I learned in my internship. And thank you, Mr. Darlington, for your financial support and helping me get there and live there. And thank you all for your time.
I'm Callie. I'm a U3 Anthropology and Social Studies and Medicine student, and this summer I was fortunate enough, thanks to the Dean of Arts, to have an internship with the Food Trust in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The Food Trust is a non-governmental organization that's working to provide accessible and nutritious food to everyone. So they do it through a bunch of different ways, like they'll open a farmer's market in an underserved community or contact the manager of a corner store and try to get him to sell more nutritious options, especially if it's by a school or different educations also. So I specifically was on the recreation team, so we would go to different rec centers all over the city and talk to kids for a little bit about how cool and delicious fruits and vegetables are, and then teach them how to cook some nice snack too. So my day-to-day activities were pretty, it was an example of, I really liked what the Food Trust in general was doing because I'm very interested in food politics and how you can work that into a city structure. Like, I was mostly counting cucumbers and peppers and stuff like that. But it was fun. I was with kids anyway. I live in Lancaster, which is about an hour away from Philadelphia. And so I chose to work at a place that's pretty close to home because after I graduate, I may want to end up in that region. And I wanted to see what an NGO in America functions like. And I did learn a lot about aspects that I would have never thought about throughout the internship. And I found this internship actually on my own through a website that I would recommend. It's called onedayoneinternship.com. It just has, every day it has a new internship, and it gives you a good idea of who is looking for help. And I think it goes all year round. And then once I found that internship, I found working with the Arts Internship Office really easy and accessible. So I would highly encourage everyone to apply because it's not difficult and they're very helpful. And now I'd like to introduce Jackson.
Hi there. My name is Jackson Davidow and I'm studying art history. And over the summer, I interned in the Department of Art of the Ancient World at the Museum of Fine Arts Boston, One of eight curatorial departments, Art of the Ancient World, comprises art from ancient Egypt, Nubia, the Near East, Greece, Etruria, and Rome. The collection of approximately 87,000 objects is one of the largest and most wide-ranging in North America. In fact, it is considered the best Egyptian Old Kingdom collection outside of Cairo. Yes, so there was a lot of excitement this summer due to the closing of one of its focal exhibitions, the Secrets of Tomb 10A, which is about a Harvard University MFA Boston expedition that took place in 1915. Additionally, the department is in the process of redesigning a couple galleries for a new wing and preparing for a 2011 show called Aphrodite and the Gods of Love. As an intern, I worked under the supervision of the curatorial planning and project manager and assisted with various duties and projects. I worked on both short and long-term projects from curators. For example, at the beginning of my internship, the main task was to categorize and assign object numbers to several dossiers filled with drawings, photographs, and journal entries from an archaeological dig at Assos, an ancient Greek city in modern-day Turkey. I must say that my favorite part of this internship was the opportunity to work in object conservation, and there I organized and labeled, for the most part, ancient Egyptian vessels and jewelry that was excavated by the MFA between 1915 and 1930, which is really cool. Besides working on projects like these, I helped out with daily duties like phone coverage, receiving visitors, database work, and archiving. Not only did this internship educate me about ancient art and curation, but it gave me an inside look into how a curatorial department functions in a museum as a whole. Moreover, this internship whetted my interest in museum studies, archaeology, and further research in ancient art and other fields in art history. Supervised by Professors Cicely Hillsdale and Dana Broadbent, I will be receiving credit for this internship under the course R490. And over the course of this term, I look forward to writing a research paper that will tackle why issues of object provenance garner more attention in the media for Greco-Roman rather than Egyptian, ancient Near Eastern art. So thank you.
So as many of the students mentioned, getting internship credit can be a very good way of continuing your internship experience into the school year. So I would encourage you, as you look for internships, to find ways that you might then apply this into a research paper later on. So now I'd like to introduce Sarah Kerr, who will speak about her internship.
Hello. My name is Sarah Kerr, and I'm a U3 political science and international development student. This summer, I interned at an organization called the Diocesan Center for Justice and Peace, also known as Cody Hoop, in the city of Oaxaca in Oaxaca, Mexico. I was one of four interns in Oaxaca this summer, with the others participating in internships in alternative community organizing and sustainable agriculture. And actually, all four of us are here today, so if you guys would raise your hand if anyone wants to talk to them. They're over there and over there. Our internships were originally arranged through connections made by Professor Kristen Norgut in the Department of Anthropology, who has done an extensive amount of work in the region. Cody Hoop, my organization, is a nonprofit human rights law firm that acts as the legal branch of the Archdiocese of Oaxaca. It should be noted that within Oaxaca and much of Mexico, the Catholic Church is seen as a primary protector of human rights and a politically liberal and progressive entity. Cody Hoop received clients through a referral system run through local parishes. All of our services were provided pro bono, and we saw cases ranging from domestic abuse to accusations of murder to small claims. This was the fifth year Cody Hoop had had a summer intern from McGill, and I was charged with continuing some projects started in previous summers, as well as with participating in the day-to-day office work. I created promotional materials for a workshop on intercommunity conflict in a southern region of Oaxaca called the Sierra Sur. I also met with clients and accompanied many of the lawyers to various meetings and errands. Due to my affiliation with Cody Hoop, I was also given housing in a residence for Indigenous women called the Center for the Protection of the Youth of Oaxaca. I spent the summer living with 16 girls aged 14 to 30 from marginalized Indigenous communities all over the region of Oaxaca. In the center, I was taken under their wing and met many amazing women.
I learned to cook a wide variety of Mexican food, taught a lot of English and computer skills, and made friends that I think I will never forget. This summer also challenged me to step up my Spanish skills by adapting to Mexican Spanish, which was not a variety of Spanish that I had studied or spoken much in the past. I also found myself grappling with the temptation and necessity to speak English at times due to Oaxaca's large tourist influxes and certain demands of my job. This semester, I will be writing an academic paper about an aspect of my experience as part of the International Development Internship Course, INTD 499, that will be overseen by Kathleen Fallon in the Department of Sociology. I would like to extend my appreciation and thanks to the Arts Undergraduate Improvement Fund for their generous award that made this summer a reality. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. So my name is Paulo Roberto De Leon. I am a U3 poli-sci and psychology student. Before I begin, I would like first to thank the Arts Internship Office for making this event happen, because this is a very big event for everyone to know more about the internship program. I'd also thank the sponsors and the Arts Internship Awards that are here. The audience, some of the students that are here, because being here, you're one step closer to your internship already. And I'd also want to thank Professor Buckley. I don't know if he's here, but he was a professor with us in Indonesia. He's a very, very cool prof. Not only did he talk to us and engage us in very interesting conversation, he also had fun with us by going out with us and watching the World Cup with us at around 1 a.m. in Indonesia. So I interned in the Universitas Islam Negeri, or the State Islamic University in Indonesia. I was under the Faculty of Social and Political Science, and I was asked by the faculty to teach English to supplement their English course. So this university has had a long, long history with McGill. I actually met some professors there and administration staff who were actually graduates from McGill. So we were asked to teach English, and I was asked to teach three classes, around 50 students. They were all university students, 2 hours per class, so I had 6-hour days, except for Thursday, 8 hours. And then I also taught the lecturers, the staff, English, basic English. So I also edited some of their papers and stuff. Before going there, the biggest challenge for me was just to, when I got the internship, Anne and I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do. I knew that we're going to be teaching English, but I didn't know what level. I know they were university students, but what skills do they need? You know, am I going to teach lecturers, staff? Am I going to even teach professors? That was scary for me. Imagine correcting the grammar of your professor. See how that works out, right? So I was really, really unprepared with that point. However, when I came there and met my supervisor, Mr. Arisman, you saw a picture of him a while ago, and Professor Effendi, that's when they started to tell me what I'm supposed to do, that I'm supposed to teach international relations students, I'm going to teach some administration staff, work arts, and all that stuff. I started to feel good. Okay, now we have structure. Now I know what's going to happen. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, international relations students, eh? Me too. I'm an international relations student too. I know what I can do. So with this attitude in mind, I was able to create my syllabus with the focus on how to make international relations students successful in their program. So, for example, aside for the grammar courses that I taught, I also did public speaking workshops, academic writing, active reading workshops. And when my students, they were international relations students, were having their exam, their final exams, I was able to, with my knowledge from poli-sci, I was able to teach them some of IR concepts that they were having troubles with, because all their classes were in English, so they already know how to speak and write English. Except when they had exams in Arabic, I wasn't really able to help there. So aside from that helped me prepare for this internship. The Arts Internship Office also helped me a lot with preparation. Not only did they tell me what I was going to do. They also provided me with the materials that I would need to teach English. Without those materials, for example, books or the other course materials that I would need, I wouldn't know exactly what I do, what I'm going to be doing. I remember reading up every night on how many present tenses there are. You know, there's more than just one present tense, you know. So that was a very good preparation for me. So aside from helping you prepare for your internship, get your internship and other things, the AIO will also help you, will also inform you about the Arts Internship Awards, which you have been hearing about. So Matt will talk about this more, but basically through the McGill alumni, some of them which are here today, they will help, the Faculty of Arts will support the returning interns, returning McGill students with by the Arts Internship Award. So those who will be doing their internships or those who want to do their internship, please go to Arts Internship Office and ask about this internship award. So just to wrap things up, just when you got your internship and you're getting closer to your internship date, and then you start to feeling unprepared, like what happened to me, just remember that the Arts Internship Office, especially Matt and Anne, will be there for you to help you. And also that you were not only chosen for this internship because you're qualified, you're also chosen because you are you're able to step up when there are challenges facing you. So thanks again for coming, and here's Matt for...
I think Paolo did a great job explaining the awards, so I don't think I will go into any more detail. Just so you know that the deadline to apply for the awards is in March, once you have an internship confirmed. So now I will like to introduce Tyler Wilson, who will give a special presentation about the McGill Institute for Health and Social Policy.
Thanks a lot, everyone. I'm Tyler Wilson. Like was just mentioned, I was an intern at the IHSP, the McGill Institute for Health and Social Policy. Before I really go into that, though, and talk about the IHSP and my experiences there, something I'd like to note right away is, you know, we've talked a lot about people's experiences, and a lot of people went all over the world, to Africa, to Asia, different parts of the world for their internships. And this is an example of an internship that you can do here in Montreal. So if you're looking for work to do during school or over the summer, because Montreal in the summer is great, you know, it's something to consider. This is a good way to do that. What is the IHSP? They're a research institute, a think tank, located up the hill on Pine there, in this beautiful red brick building. You should go check it out. And they investigate the social determinants of health and how public policy impacts and influences those social determinants of health. And so moreover on that public policy aspect, are interested not only in just researching that, but in also trying to translate that research into actual policy changes and taking that research, improving public policy, improving people's social conditions, and improving their health as a result. And as part of that process, they have a lot of student programs, which is, you know, where I came in. There's two kind of categories to the student programs. There's the internships and the fellowships. I've done two internships. I'll likely be going back for a fellowship if you want me. So right there, that says a lot about, you know, how I feel about the IHSP. I've gone back once, want to go back again. So, you know, it's a great organization. To kind of expand on that, the internships, there's two sessions. Once through the winter semester, they run, it's a part-time job you do it in addition to school. Also in the summer semester, which is full-time for 3 months. They're both fantastic. I've done one of each. I'm kind of trying to do like the full array of IHSP programs, so I'm almost there. And yeah, there's a variety of topics you can study. Next year, you can go on the website for more information if you want specifics, but some examples are healthcare quality and costs, environmental equity, disability and rights. And in examining those topics, there's sort of a few different styles of internship. So, for example, you can do a literature review, and the IHSP will ask you to conduct a literature review on a topic, and you kind of do it, find all the knowledge there is to know about that thing and deliver it to them. Another thing is I mentioned that the IHSP is actually really big in actually implementing their research and trying to change public policy. So as part of that process, you can be an outreach intern and you know, get the research out there, make contacts, plan conferences, things like that. The third thing, which is what I did, is as a database intern, They're currently building the world's first ever global comparative set of databases on the social determinants of health. So things like child labor, political rights, really there's so many, it's almost impossible to mention them all, but it's a great project, really exciting to be a part of. And yeah, you can be involved in designing and building these databases. So, you know, you'll often be sitting in a meeting with your staff members and there's a problem. How are we going to fix this thing? There's an issue involved in one of the databases. And if you have a solution to that and, you know, I think we should do it this way and your solution happens to be good, that'll go in the database. When it's published, policymakers are going to look at that and they see your work, right? So it's applied work that actually influences policy. Yeah, and in addition to the work you do, there's also training. So staff members there who are experts in their various fields will give you training on, say, a nuance of public policy, or if you're interested in learning how to use a specific computer program, he can train you in that. So there's that. On top of actually working, they're actually going to take the time to train you. And the third thing I'd like to mention is it's just a great place to work. It's nice. You walk in, you're like, not really stressed. You don't hate your boss, right? They don't make you, like, scrub the toilets, right? You do work you enjoy, and you meet people you like and you want to work with in the future. So there's that, too. So I sort of touched on the internships. I'm going to talk briefly about the fellowships, which is the other aspect of the IHSP student programs. They're more extensive, a year long, and you conduct a case study on a public policy or a program that the IHSP is interested in. So next year, the theme is disability and equality across the life course. And they send the interns all over the world to conduct their case studies. It's a three-part process. You'll start in January, and you do you prepare your research, prepare your questionnaires, get ready to go and conduct the research. In the summer, you travel to whatever it is. You pay for that, pay for a translator if you need one, you know, all your accommodations, and you conduct that case study and actually perform your own research. In the third part, you'll come back to Montreal, synthesize your results, analyze them, and publish, you know, a paper on that, and then present that at one of the IHSP's conferences. So it's a great opportunity to do your own research, start to finish, and then actually get that research out there. I guess the last thing, or last couple of things I should mention, the deadline, if you're interested in applying, is coming up October 22nd. And the programs don't start till January, but the deadline is approaching, and the application is kind of long, so maybe look into that soon if you're interested. And also, if you want more information, just outside, Leo, this guy, he's sitting over there, is going to have a table set up. And so you can talk to him for more information. He has details on the different programs and application specifics, that kind of thing. The very, very last thing I want to mention is, in addition to working in a great place, doing awesome work, networking with people that you're sure to love, receiving training, you get paid. They're paid internships, and so really it's a job. And that alone, like, I would scrub the floors for money, so if they're also going to, like, train me and let me do this, you know, this exciting work, that's all the better. Thanks a lot.
As we get to the end of the presentation, I'd just like to recognize and to introduce the internship office staff who, along with Anne and myself, work throughout the year to run this program and to answer your questions and be in the office. So I'd like to introduce Philippe, who you've met already, Lyndon, who's around, Vladdy, who's also around, and Corinne, who's right there. I'd also like to give a big thank you to everybody across the university and in the community who really do help to make this program possible. Of course, Dean Christopher Manfredi and Associate Dean Suzanne Morton for all of their support throughout the years. To all of the Faculty of Arts professors who supervise internship papers year after year. The Arts Undergraduate Society that provides money every year as part of the internship awards. Departmental staff, who is part of the administrative team in the Faculty of Arts for everything from your course approvals to promoting the program. Advisors, of course. The Development and Alumni Relations of McGill, who work with our donors year after year. of course, alumni of McGill and other friends who give to our program to make it possible for students to do these internships every year. And of course, someone I forgot to mention on the screen, but is the organizations in the community all over the world that take our students, teach them, train them, mentor them throughout the summers. Last but not least, the interns who share their stories every year and who are here today and who will be outside in the reception today sharing their stories. So for the interns. If you want to know more, please sign up on our listserv. There will be instructions outside. You can find out more about the program as the year goes on. Bit of information about our office. And now I'd like to invite you all to join us for a reception out in the foyer. Thank you.